Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Good morning to those of you in the Central Time Zone westward. Good afternoon to those of you listening in the Eastern Time Zone here in the good old U.S. of A. You're listening to American Family Radio, 184 stations across the country. And we also have thousands of people who listen. I should say thousands and thousands of people who listen on our app. We have a free app you download on your cell phone or your iPad or similar device. It takes you about a minute, generally, minute and a half, 2 minutes maybe, to download the app. And then you can listen to AFR anywhere in the world that you have high-speed internet and listen free, and it's clear as a bell. So take advantage of that app. Don't be intimidated by that. If you're intimidated by that, ask your grandkid to come over to your house and download that app that Tim Wildman was talking about. Again, it's very easy to do. And listen on the American Family Radio app. That's short for application, isn't it, Walker?
That's correct.
All right, you're listening to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman. And Walker's got us on Facebook Live, right?
That's correct. Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So either one of those you can pick, and both of those locations you can watch the show.
Just type in Today's Issues.
That's right.
On American Family Radio, or Today's Issues Live on AFR. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Now, you've had 45 minutes, Walker, to decide what you're going to do on your show Saturday afternoon, exposing Washington.
What I'm hoping is closer to topic. That the Inspector General for the Department of Justice is set to release his key, and I know Steve might cover this, his key investigation findings into how the FBI handled the Hillary Clinton email probe.
Okay.
So if he releases that in the next day or two, that would be a great topic to cover on the show.
Is that going to be a bombshell or blockbuster?
I think it is. I'm not sure what will come from it as far as action goes.
Yeah.
But there, a lot of information will be covered in that report.
Okay. So watch for that. Perhaps that'll be your Exposing Washington topic this Saturday at 2:30 Central Time.
That's
right.
Correct.
Here on AFR. Do you have a podcast for that?
I do. If you visit AFR.net, visit the podcast page. Mine is the third one down from the top, Exposing Washington.
Okay. Steve Jordahl's in. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. And thank you for reminding me that they're an hour ahead on the East Coast. We're just starting the 11 o'clock hour. They've already been through that, and they're starting the noon hour. So I'm thinking of calling somebody in New York or Washington or North Carolina or whatever to see how the hour went, to see if there's anything I need to watch out for. You know, it's a good way to get news, the first breaking news.
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused.
Well, that's okay.
But I think that that was a funny statement, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was a joke because he can't, it doesn't matter how the hour went on the East Coast. It doesn't affect
Steve's
life.
That's right, because even if it went bad on the East Coast, maybe it won't go so bad here.
And this weekend
is
daylight savings.
Yeah.
Which means
you could actually catch up then.
I'll tell you, that
means
another...
that Arizona is going to confuse the whole rest of the world.
And no parts of Indiana, too. Isn't there a couple of counties in Indiana that don't do the whole thing?
Another hour of yard work, fishing, or golf. You take your choice starting
and
Sunday.
I know what
you'll pick. It's an hour less, isn't it?
No. It's more
forward.
Time. It's more daylight.
Oh, that's right. It's okay. The reason I know it's the spring forward, fall back thing, but the reason I try to remember whether or not I have to make sure and set my alarm, and because I don't want to show up late as opposed to the other part where you show up an hour early, is because my dad, who's a pastor, one time they had the daylight savings time coincided with Easter one year, and he was supposed to speak at a sunrise service at our church and come along 6 o'clock, 5:30, whatever. Where's Dick? He didn't set his clock. So it was a
reminder.
Now,
that was back in the old days. Now, these smartphones, you don't have to worry about that.
They had no such thing as smartphones back then.
It'll adjust itself.
All dumb phones back then.
Yeah. All right, what you got, Steve Giordo?
Just this morning, the mayor of Nashville, her name is Megan Berry, she resigned. This was the mayor who pleaded guilty to theft of property, and she's going to be paying restitution back, and she knew that she was doing this. She had an affair with a worker in the government.
No, it was
there.
It was her security guard. Yeah. Her security guard, right?
Employed by the government, right. Her security guard. They take trips together, and apparently this is where the theft come from. She stole or she used the money for this tryst that she was going on. But for the longest time, she said that she was refusing to resign. It's just an affair.
This is about 2 or 3 months ago. I remember seeing this, maybe not even that long. She confessed to having a adulterous affair with her bodyguard.
Basically. Sergeant Rob Forrest was his name.
Yeah, and
of
course he was married too.
Yeah,
and but she was going to stay on as mayor, you know, even after this confession. But now she's resigned.
She has resigned this morning.
Okay, that's a big city. Nashville is up there. It's one of the top, probably 25 largest cities in the U.S. So that's a big deal. But you know these affairs and sexting and I don't know Instagram images of all these things are it's every day. I mean the governor of Missouri got in trouble with seeing another woman. I mean this is the first time in history this has happened, but it just seems like it's happening all the time now.
I think what you're seeing now more than ever is people like Mayor Berry or ex-Mayor Berry now trying to justify or saying that it doesn't matter. It's affairs like you say have been happening since marriage has been happening, and the evil one has attacked marriage more than anything else because, of course, it's God's model for his relationship with us. But now we're seeing in this age of no morality and everything, they're saying, well, yeah, sure, I had an affair.
It's every day. I tell you another thing.
Why should it matter is what they say.
I tell you another thing you got a serious epidemic of, and that is female teachers having sexual relations with underage boys that are at school. You see this every day. It's in the news. You see this where a teacher's arrested, and their mugshots, and
and a lot of times these are fairly young women too.
They're in their 20s.
Yeah, they're usually sometimes married too.
Yeah, you got your whole life ahead of you. What's wrong with you? I mean, you got a job like Walker said. A lot of times a husband, and, You know, you thrown away the chance for family.
I seem to see more of that in the news than I see of the male. I mean, that happens too.
And I've been trying to figure this out, Tim, to your point, whether or not it's just that the male predator on the younger high school girl is kind of the story that happens often enough that every time it happens, it'll make the local news, but it doesn't make the national news, but there's still something about the female teacher, whether that's happening
unusual.
More. And here's what I'm going to posit a theory here about this. We've been seeing, if you look at statistics, we've been seeing that more and more these days women are also starting to become addicted to pornography and that they're watching
it. Those numbers are growing.
And this is behavior that stems from a twisted sexual view of the world.
And the opposite sex.
And the opposite sex, where now it used to be that the narrative was guys would look at pornography and they'd never look at a woman with pure thoughts again, because every time they see a woman, they envision the pornography. And I think the same thing we might be seeing happening with these women who are now getting more.
So you're saying
there's
a rising usage of pornography among women.
There is.
And that maybe which leads to a more sexualized culture, which maybe explains why we're seeing these.
I don't know why the effect of pornography on the brain would be that different between men and women. It might be somewhat different, but I still think it skews their view, and then they see these young men.
It's every day now on the news, that kind of thing going on.
And the other thing about it, I think that it needs to be said often, is that unlike what you might hear of locker room banter and everything, when a woman preys on a young man, it's just as harmful to the young boy, to the boy as he grows up, the damage, the psychological trauma is just the same as when a man preys on a girl. There's that talk of, oh yeah, lucky you, you know,
yeah.
But it's not. It's an inappropriate violation of their integrity. And
I guess
feel that just like girls.
Yeah, do. I guess what gets me, and again, we're all human, and David.
Right.
King David.
In the Bible, yeah.
King David, you know, he had his moral failure that led to his whole life being changed. But sometimes you just wonder why smart people, otherwise smart, intelligent people, do things that, in other words.
It's the lust of the flesh.
Yes, the lust of the flesh, but does a mayor not think people are going to catch on that she's having an affair with her bodyguard?
I think she thinks that doesn't matter.
How long is that going to take people to catch on
well,
to?
Well, the thing is, when you're lulled in or brought in by sin, you don't think necessarily logically.
Well, that's true. That's true. So, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Does. Well, it's. Let me put it this way. It's the reason why there are fat doctors. You say, what does that mean? Having the right thoughts, being educated, is not enough
right.
to overcome strong desires.
That's
strong desires will yeah. trump intellectual knowledge every time. Mm-hmm. So your head is telling you okay. you cannot cheat on your husband. You are the mayor of Nashville.
You're going to get caught.
You're going to get caught, but yeah. strong desires. That's why if you say to a doctor, you know, well, doctor, you smoke. Yeah, well, I just can't help it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're a doctor. You know better.
Right.
You're just killing
right.
it.
That's a good point.
I can't quit the desire, and that seems.
How do you
to be,
quit the desire then?
Well, I we get into a biblical discussion about the power of Christ and crucifying the flesh and taking every thought captive. Those kinds of things. But I just am convinced that in a contest between strong desire information. Strong desire
you.
Wins every time.
Let me give you an alternate understanding of something that people often quote, which is Psalm 34:7, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord your God, and he will give you the desires of your heart." A lot of people say that means that if you delight yourself in God and I desire a new house, that God's going to give me a new house. What about if it means that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what to desire?
Right.
He will give you the desire. So how do you overcome an evil desire? Delight yourself in the Lord your God.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, human passions, I should say illicit human passions, can make you do things that are stupid.
You know, the ancient Greeks, the word eros is a Greek word for sexual desire.
Right.
The Greeks viewed eros as being a power that drives men and women mad. That they looked at the power of sexual desire like that. It is a power that grips someone and drove them mad until they had the thing that they wanted. In this case, would be a
is that why
relation.
Monks came to be?
Well, part of the reason was monks.
I'm being serious.
They separated themselves, try to separate themselves from the world so they could try to contain those strong desires. As a Christian, we should never make light of the power of those strong desires.
Oh no,
because we've talked
about
it.
Have to be on guard constantly.
Pastors will throw away everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
For an adulterous affair. Well,
yeah.
it's just
and you wonder how can they be so stupid?
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's back to what you said.
Yeah.
But also to what Steve said. That's the reason the Bible says. Well, there's so many admonitions in the scriptures about how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You have to guard yourself
right.
from temptations of all kinds.
Right.
I mean, we all have different kinds of temptations that will damage and or destroy you, your spiritual life. So the Bible says you have to die to yourself daily. Right? And pick up your cross daily.
Right.
So we get these admonitions again of things we're to do daily.
Right.
Right.
On a regular basis. The more fencing you put up, the better off you are. So Billy Graham just died. We all know his pattern when he was in a new city. Before he went into his hotel room, he had staff check, make sure there's no girl there. Mike Pence does not meet with women by himself. And people mock that, but what those men were doing was they were putting up fences to keep themselves as far away from temptation as possible.
Yeah.
You do not want to set fire. You do not want to ignite a sinful desire because it can burn out of
control.
It's
flammable, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a good
analogy. Speaking of that, you know, I saw a friend of mine, this is 20 years ago, I saw a friend of mine out at lunch with another woman that wasn't his wife, you know?
Yeah.
And that just bothered me.
Right.
And it was a professional meeting, but it was lunch.
Yeah.
With another woman, and she wasn't 85.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was about his age, but yeah. It wasn't his wife. You know, that I know that they're maybe talking about how to sell widgets, but this is not a good. I don't do that. Huh?
I don't do that. People can mock it all they want. I don't care.
Well,
I don't care if you laugh at me or not.
I just told him.
I'm not having lunch with another woman.
I just told him. I said,
my sister.
And this is not any of my business except to say that don't look good, brother. You don't need to be doing that.
But he
listened to me.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you're probably right about that. I won't do that again. Yeah.
Character takes a lifetime to build, but it can be torn down in a moment.
Yep.
You're listening to
That's
today's
good Bible
issues.
Study right there.
Amen, brother. Today's issues. Well, you know, we see what happened with this.
We need it.
Mayor, this female mayor in Nashville is now having to resign.
And I just ask our listeners to pray for mayor.
Her and her family.
Mayor.
And the bodyguard's family,
and the bodyguard.
Too. So I think it said that his wife was divorcing him over this.
Yeah.
So there you got two homes destroyed because of this. You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Next up, Steve Jordahl.
Mississippi Senator Thad Cochran is deciding that he cannot run again for the Senate. He's in his 80s, and he has been in ill health. And for health reasons, he's saying that he's resigning. Therefore, Mississippi will have two senators up for election in, well,
two seats
up, and depending how the governor handles it, I don't know whether there'll be two. You can choose
incumbents
or two people at the ballot box in November, but a turnover in the political life of Mississippi and the Senate.
Well, Senator Cochran has been there in Congress. Let's see.
Since the 1800s, isn't it?
He's been there a long time, probably one of the most veteran, 40 years.
Yeah.
I think something like that. So, anyway, Senator Cochran had a low profile.
Right.
For most of his career. He did rise to, Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman, which is the most...
He is the chairman.
The most envied position, probably, because that's when... The congressmen, both in the House and the Senate, they want that chairmanship, and they want on that committee because that means more bacon sent back home. And so, he's ailing. His health is ailing. So this means that the governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi will appoint a person to fill out. I'm looking for the better term.
Replace
Senator Cochran on April 1st, but there'll have to be a special election then in November to decide who will replace Senator Cochran ultimately.
Yeah.
So the governor has not announced yet who he will replace Senator Cochran with. Also, you have at the same time a race now between State Senator Chris McDaniel and U.S. Senator Roger Wicker. So that's also going on for the Republican primary in one Senate seat. So I don't know who the Democrats are. There's a couple of Democrats have thrown their hat in the ring in this. So,
And there's also, by the way, some question. I'm reading and read this morning and looking at now a letter from the Clarion Ledger, which is the Jackson newspaper, kind of the newspaper of record. The state, and it's a very good article. I'm sometimes fairly critical of the Clarion Ledger because they can be very liberal. This is a good article about the timeline and all that kind of thing about what happens next. But they're saying there is some ambiguity as to whether or not the governor actually has to appoint an interim senator because the state statute says the governor may appoint a senator to fill the vacancy temporarily. Well, so there's a little bit of leeway here. I'm sure, you know, the governor will make that decision.
Well, I know Governor Bryant. He's been on our program here right. before, and he's a friend of our family. And I would just say to him, appoint yourself.
This article yeah, discusses seriously. That, and apparently he does not want to leave the state of Mississippi.
I don't care what you want to do. You don't care. I said, for the good of our state.
And you're
state,
being
for
serious.
The, for the good right. of our state, appoint yourself.
For the
yourself.
Good of our state, I would appoint myself if I were Governor Bryant. I think he's got...
I'm a big fan of Governor Bryant.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
He anyway. Would be excellent. He would be yeah. superb.
Yeah. That's so maybe we should start a...
Who's the lieutenant
governor? I know what we need to do. Can you start a hashtag appoint yourself?
You can.
Yeah.
See if that's taken, Walker. Hashtag appoint yourself. I don't think that the governor's considering this, but I think he would be a wonderful U.S. senator. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. I don't know the last time a situation has occurred like is in Mississippi with two U.S. Senate seats to be decided on the same day.
The same year.
Yeah, the same
so
year.
So that's strange because usually they're staggered for
well,
states.
They are,
but...
By definition, they are in every state.
But if they are elected the same day...
I think what would happen, I'm not sure, but I think what would happen with the Senator Cochran retiring, it would only be an election in November to decide who will get the two or four years of his term. What do you got next, Steve Jordahl?
I would like to present something from the Snowflake File.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Thank you, Jim Reeves. A top librarian at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology is upset with some of her students because apparently they are plastering the workplace there with Star Trek posters. And, of course, you know, techies and geeks. And this librarian says that... Trekkers, actually, if you're very serious.
Oh, Trekkers.
Trekkers. Is
well, you called them techies.
Breaker 19. So breaker 19. Is that the same thing, Steve?
Yeah, no.
Do they do?
Those are truckers.
Oh, okay.
Right. She says there's research that shows that workplaces that are plastered with stereotypically tech or nerd guy cultural images have negative impact on women's likelihood of pursuing tech work. Irony here is that Star Trek was one of the most progressive, if you want to say that, not in the left-leaning way, but in, well, maybe that too, but in as far as forward-thinking, in the 60s, they were the first person to had an interracial
kiss.
They were always pushing, they had women in powerful positions, they envisioned a future where there was an equality of roles, and they were the show more than any other. Even through all their iterations down the line that championed this kind of equality. And for the librarian, maybe doesn't know this, Chris Borg is the...
Borg?
B-O-U-R-G, I know.
Irony of ironies. All our Star Trek fans
would know that the Borg were a machine hybrid...
Yeah.
Enemy of the Federation.
The collective. They would absorb civilization.
Resistance is futile.
Boy,
her last name is Borg.
It is.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness. Because that is what the progressives want to do.
Yeah.
Turn us all into a communist collective.
And the saying, resistance is futile.
Thank you, Steve.
But for those who can see... Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Can you do that?
I can do that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Ed, for your incredible contributions to this show, especially the last 3 minutes. Phenomenal.
Well, and happy birthday, Tim.
Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
And
Brent Creeley, thank you.
Yeah, Brent, yeah.
For what little you did
today. To make this show happen. We'll see you next time, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.